You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, the no announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Colossians today, chapter 1, verses 25 through 29. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Okay, well, we're coming up to spring break soon, and I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing on spring break, but we hope that we get a good enough weather that we can take a little trip somewhere down south, down to the Lone Star place. Yeah, Corpus Christi or something like that. Who knows? It depends on the weather. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for the opportunity as we have it to gather together to open the scriptures. We ask your spirit would work to enlighten our minds, understanding, that we would be more understanding, Lord, and better equipped to serve thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're in the book of Genesis, so this time we're going to make sure we get into the book of Genesis. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. This will keep me honest, you see. Genesis chapter 6. This is a great chapter. We've read through most of this. It talks in there about the occasion of how it was that this judgment came onto the earth. A massive judgment, which involved the whole of the earth with this judgment of water. We know that one day there's going to be a judgment of fire, and that will involve the whole earth. When you come to chapter 7, you find in there about how the animals were brought into the ark. And in verse 11 of chapter 7, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, where all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. So here we have very likely a new source of fluid coming in, water coming in to the earth. And it says, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And in New Zealand, sometimes you get a lot of rain. I mean, it can be. The Maori people there, they call New Zealand the land of the long white cloud. Aotearoa, it's called. Aotearoa means the land of the long white cloud. And if you ever get to fly into New Zealand and you have a reasonable kind of day, you will see that. You'll see this quite often. You'll see this big, long, white cloud that's across New Zealand. And so we get sick and tired of cloudy weather, you know. You really do. And when we came here to Oklahoma, that was one of the things we just said, oh, what? Look at the blue sky. Look at the sunshine. Oh, man. It was beautiful. Wasn't it, Sebby? I mean, we often talked about that. And we still do. We still do talk about the weather here. Now, I know there's times when the weather can get bad here, too. But basically, you get a lot of sunshine here, which we love. We really love that. But here you've got this long period of time when the rain came. And it's not just rain, there's the fountains of the great deep opening. And then as you come down, it says, verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark. They went in unto Noah. Noah is the very central figure here. He's certainly the head of the household. That's only a natural thing. But the time, the days of Noah. Noah into the ark, two, and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And remember, the breath of life is not unique to human beings. Breath of life is shared by animals as well. And it says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And then look at this very interesting little statement here. And the Lord shut him in. The Lord. That, notice the capital letters, L-O-R-D. That's the covenant name. That is Jehovah. And it says, verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Now, this gets fascinating to me, because first of all, you have the headship of Noah, you've got the people coming in unto Noah, and then the Lord shutting the door afterwards. And then, bang, you get the flood coming on the earth. It's very marked out here. Now, if you go across, just have a look at this passage with me. This is what Peter has to say in 1 Peter 3. So if you go across to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, Peter is an interesting dude. He really is, because his life is filled with impulsiveness, and he's like an open page, really. He's one of these guys that is what he is, and it's not always good, it's not always bad. It's an open page. He denies the Lord, but he comes back, and he is used. He's reprimanded by Paul. You know, a very interesting guy. Says this in 1 Peter 3. It says in verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. This is a very interesting thing about what the Lord did. The Lord is not like us. Okay, he is a singularity. And it goes down in verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing. So that's a very interesting way of putting this. It says the long-suffering of God waited. It's like God is just absolutely, you know, getting fed up with what's going on. But, and he's being restrained because of his intent to save this family. And as we read there, that once they went in unto Noah, the Lord shuts the door. Bang! It's like, man, I can't wait to get these people in here. Bang! And now bring the floods on this world. It's like time is of the essence. And time is running out. And this has to happen now. And God gets it done. The like figure, well, let's keep reading verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now, this gets even more fascinating, the way that this is expressed, right? Saved by water. They were saved. They were saved. You see, we see this in terms of a judgment on the masses of people and animals that were around. And that's true. There was a judgment on them. But there was also salvation coming. There was salvation coming to these 8 souls. And they were saved by water. If the water didn't come, I believe the indication is they would be destroyed. If the water didn't come. The water was a means of judgment on those around. But those around were ungodly. They were vicious. And no doubt there was pressure on this family. They were busy in preparing this ark. And that must have been a mammoth job. And in the midst of this terrible generation around them, yet they still got the job done, right? And it's like they just got it done and they just got in. God shuts the door just in time for these reprobates to be destroyed. And they were saved by water. So that salvation by water brings on quite a different meaning. And it says, verse 21, the like figure. Now this passage here creates a lot of problems to people who do not rightly divide the word of truth for more than one reason, right? Here it comes. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now those people who come to water baptism, they will say, you see, Baptism is the way that you get saved. See? You get saved. Peter says, what he says right here, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Well, very interesting things we must understand about this. Number one, there's a like figure being used. Number two, this is Peter, minister of the circumcision. Number three, this we have found is a part of the context of the last days. And water baptism, number four, is a part of the washings that were associated with figures. And he's even using this here, this very idea. And he says this, in parenthesis, note what it says. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now he wants to qualify what he just says. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of God, the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if we just accept the parentheses as they are, let's just read it, jump the parentheses, right? The parenthetical thought. Let's just read it again. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there we have an interesting thing, right? Baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, carrying on, it says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Well, baptism in Peter is a very interesting subject, right? Because Peter says some very strong things about baptism. But one thing here, I think you'll have to agree, is that this qualification, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, because baptism is often translated as washings. So a baptism is some kind of a washing. It was used in the temple ceremonies. Washings. These are baptisms. They are part of the symbolic picture of the temple, of the need to be clean. And before God, which is a statement of holiness. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. No, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. The real work of salvation comes through the work of Christ, his resurrection. Even during the time of the book of Acts, you'll find that Peter is acknowledging this, right? He's acknowledging this thing. So if you go through your Bible, what you'll do is you'll find this progression of the doctrine to do with baptism. And if you go back into the Gospels, you'll find mention made of baptism. Let's look at a little bit of this, okay? Because it's kind of an interesting, does connect quite well with Noah. This idea of the baptism, this like figure, which goes back to Noah. If you go back to the book of John, chapter number 1, and verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So this is a very interesting thing about the Messiah, that he came and his ministry involves a dealing with the sin of the world. And it says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And it says, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And he goes on, and John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Whoa, wait a minute now. So you've first of all got baptism, which is with water,
Okay, John was certainly associated with this. It had a picture of the need of a cleansing, a deeper cleansing, right? This was part of the picture book. There was a need of a deeper cleansing. He indicates this by saying, oh yeah, there's someone greater than me coming, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Right, well that's interesting. So we've got water, and then the promise of a baptism with Holy Ghost coming. So when you talk about baptism, you've got to be very careful, because there are a number of baptisms, a number of them. Let's see, as we go further on in this picture, we come across epistles written after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, written by Paul. Let's just have a look at, well, just a few of them, okay, or maybe one or two of them. 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is written during the Acts. We know this was written during the time of the Acts because of its content. Its content aligns with the Acts. That is the giving of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says this, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now this is very interesting, because there's appeal by Paul for unity. There are some people who want to start our age here. They want to start our age with Paul. Not with Paul the prisoner, but with Paul. Now there's a great problem with this, and we're going to read it right here in this context. Because Paul, during this time, he appeals to unity. And he's not going to be the one that destroys unity and then appeals to it. He's not going to ask for the Corinthians to come to unity, but then he himself is going to now teach disunity. Right? So he goes on and he says this. It says in verse 10, right near the end, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice he says judgment. One of the things that marks off a spiritual person is someone who judges all things. I know we get it from the pulpit, and we certainly get it from the world, that you Christians, you must not judge. You know, you shouldn't be involved with judging. Yeah, the funny thing is, Paul says, he that is spiritual judges all things. It's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Now, we know that it's got to be righteous judgment, and it should not be hypocritical judgment. We know that. But we've got God's revelation on what right and wrong is. Every part of our life is coming to an intersection, isn't it? You're just coming to an intersection just about every moment, and you've got to make a decision. What are you going to do? Flick a coin? You've got to make a decision based upon righteousness, what you understand. And it says this in verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Okay, this marks off the nature of this letter, that the Corinthians had these contentions. And unfortunately, right from the very word go, assemblies have had contentions and problems. And I think we as pastors and people that are in places of decision and judgment and where we have responsibility, we need to refresh our minds about what went on in the past. Because Paul started things off with problems as a minister. He had problems, but he did not just walk away from them. But sometimes we feel like it, right? Sometimes we say, blow you, man. I'm out of here. You know, Paul didn't do that. And some of these people, man, you're talking about some bad stuff was going down here. We won't go through the details any more than what Paul has shown. But we're talking about sins. We're talking about serious stuff going down. But he didn't walk away from them. And he says this in verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. Now let's just think about this, what's going down here. I am of Paul. I of Apollos. You see, Apollos was a great rhetor. Okay, he could speak well. And I of Cephas. Well, Cephas, that's Peter. See, he had a big ministry. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Now here it comes. Or were you baptized? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul?
Ah, now here comes something that comes up in here. This nature of the baptism. Whether you be baptized with water, whether you baptize with pneumahagion, that is the Holy Spirit, whether that's happening or not, there's a name that's involved. There is some sort of headship going on. And when you become identified with Christ, you then become baptized in his name. Okay, whatever that be.
So notice he's saying this. He says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul? Well, the answer is no. Christ is not divided. Was Paul crucified for you? No, he was not crucified for you. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, you were not baptized in the name of Paul. See, the answer is no. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Wait a minute.
You've got Peter saying some very strong things about baptism, and he was a minister of the circumcision. But Paul comes along and he says, Christ is not divided. We want unity here. We understand the ministry that's going on here.
He's not claiming, okay, all you guys here, you need to follow me and then not follow the true teachings of Peter. He's not saying that. He does say, follow me. But he says, follow me, even as I am of Christ. Right? So he goes back to Christ. Now here's the important thing I want you to see here. He says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. Ah, here it comes down. You see, Paul is not opposed to water baptism here. He is simply saying that in his ministry, He's very thankful to God that he did so few baptisms, lest anybody would say, you know, oh, I got baptized by Paul, I got baptized in his name, and so that makes me something special. You see, water baptism, even today, where people are trying to achieve this, it has this effect on them. They say, well, I got baptized in this church over here. Or you ask them, you know, I've done this, right? I've gone door to door in many places, right? Door to door. I can remember doing this in Minnesota in the middle of the night, about 8, 9 o'clock at night. It's just dark, man, and it's snowing. Whoosh, coming down, right? Knock, knock, knock on the door, and the snow's all over you. Knock, knock, knock. And someone opens the door. Very kind people. You know, they even want to invite you in because they see you out in the snow. And then you ask them questions about, you know, their salvation and the gospel. And many, many, many times, their answer is, after you ask them something to the effect of, do you know Christ as Savior? They'll say, yes, I have been baptized. Yes, I have been baptized. And this symbol has become something more than a symbol to them. It's become something that is a part of their salvation. Formula, and they're holding to this. It says in verse 16, and I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. See that last little phrase, I know not whether I baptize any other. He's saying, well, you know, it's not important. You see, it's not important. And he's thanking God that he only baptized a few people because he doesn't want anyone to say, oh, look, I got something special from Paul. He says this in verse 17, and here it comes. So this is 1 Corinthians 1:17, right? Look at this passage. It says this, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, if water baptism in and of itself was a part of the formulaic to get saved, how could Paul ever say such a thing? If it is true that you must be water baptized in order that you get saved, how can Paul come out with a statement like, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel? not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God.
Ah, so it is the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Now here you've got some very clear things about water baptism. And unlike some people who try to start our age in the book of 1 Corinthians or during the time of the book of Acts, unlike those, you see, I see in here something very important, that there was baptism going on here, and Paul is not in himself opposed to this. He's not opposed to water baptism here. He's just clarifying what his ministry is to bring out the truth that you're saved by the through the gospel and ultimately by the work of Jesus. Right? That's the way that it occurs. Now, go across a little bit further. Just go across here to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. And verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren. Now, this subject of baptism is massive. Okay, it's a massive subject. There's 80 times where the verb to be baptized is used, to baptize is used. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, brethren, fathers. He's talking to brethren, and he says, all our fathers. He includes himself with them. Our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So it's very clear that amongst the Corinthians there were Jewish believers. Okay? Now this is just one of the hard facts that you've got to get through in the book of Acts. So during the book of Acts, you have scattered out through Asia all of these different churches, localities, and in these churches there were Jewish believers. Okay, there were Jewish believers in here. There were Gentiles as well. So let's put these in here, make sure we're not sort of saying one and not the other. There is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And now what you've got to understand is that during this time, the Jew had precedent. The Jew first. And what he says is this, in verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses. Now what's interesting here is that in chapter 1, he's glad and happy that he baptized only a few because he was worried that they would say that they were baptized unto Paul's name, you see. Paul's name. But look at this. And we're all baptized unto Moses. There's the name. They were baptized unto Moses. Remember, there was that distinctive that had to do with Noah and his headship. And they all went in unto Noah, and then God shut the door, right? And then, bang, they were saved by water, right? Here we have this same kind of headship that's going on now with Moses. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Oh, so again now, this is leading you back to the truth of the reality, which is Christ. The substance is Christ, and all these other baptisms that you might find are the picture. There's the picture, and then there is the substance. There is the thing that is just the sign, right? Here is the sign. I remember seeing this as a kid. My parents, they were and are fantastic parents. And they used to, every Christmas, we used to go to one place. We're the sort of people that, no, there's just one place to go for a holiday. You don't go anywhere else. There's lots of other places to go. No, this is the only place you go. And we would go to a place called the Bay of Islands. And there would be signs along the way pointing to the final destination. And we would, there would be three, four of us in the back seat, little kids in the back seat, with the rest of it and a trailer packed up with all the stuff for camping. And along the way, there would be a little sign. And sometimes, it used to make me laugh, you'd see people with a sort of, you know, ground sheet, and they've got this food out there, and they're having a little picnic around the sign, which is to the destination. And we used to make sort of joke about that, you know, you know, that they've arrived, have they? You know, but this is where you're supposed to be, over here. And we used to make a joke about that. And but some people are treating it like that, right? They think they've arrived, but the sign is pointing somewhere else. They're trying to camp out on the sign. You know what I'm saying? But that's not where we're going. That's not it. The real place is further on, man. And the beaches are beautiful. There's a nice sand, and there's swimming, and there's fishing, and there's scuba diving. But no, let's just stay here under the sign.
It's really quite funny. Okay, so this is an interesting thing, but you notice the name. The name comes up. Oh man, I better use my slides a little bit. You know, let's move these slides around a little bit. You know, we've talked about some of these things, but I've got some very interesting things coming. Yeah, well, we're not even going to get there. But yeah. So this is this passage that Peter's talking about. Okay. And what I'm going to draw your attention to is the Companion Bible has some appendices. And this appendix, which is appendix 115, it is tops. It is absolutely tops. It is not simply a concordance of the word baptism, but what it does is it categorizes the various usages of the verb and the noun, and along with prepositions that give you the context of what's going on with baptism. And as he says with this appendix, he says, okay, just read this, and it's just for the reader. You make your own mind up. Okay, so I'm going to help you make your mind up by just picking out a few things. It's really, really cool here. Very, very cool indeed. For example, look at this. This is baptismos, cursed four times, translated washing. Did you know that? You see, this is one of the things you've got to understand, that the word baptism connects with the Hebrews. It connects with the temple. It connects with what went on in the Gospels in terms of washing pots and pans. It's connected with the picture of cleanliness. Baptisms. Hebrews 9:10, Hebrews 6:2. Okay, well, before we get there, let's just carry on. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 12. And around about verse 13, it says this, for by one Spirit, now remember the promise that John had. John had this thing about, okay, there's certainly a water baptism that I'm involved with, but there's something else coming. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And he talks about how all these things work. And then as you read through all this, what do you find? You find that with this comes a whole manifestation of the Spirit. The reality is seen through the manifestation of all these signs and wonders. All these signs and wonders coming. That's here. That's in this time. When Jew was first, the manifestation of the Spirit was signs and wonders. Why would that be important? Why do you think signs and wonders would have to be very important during this time? Because Jew was first, and the Jew requires a sign. That's what Paul tells us. The Jew requires a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Both families had to be taken care of. The Gentiles wanted wisdom, and the Jews wanted signs, and they better get them. And they got them. But what happens is the Jew says, nah, don't want it. Just imagine. Have you seen this? You know, these pictures? Christmas time, right? Christmas time. Well, good old Santa, he's a bit heavy. But he comes to this chimney and he's got some sort of magic and he sort of goes down this thing, right? Goes down, and then below, inside this house, the brats are there. Right? The brats are there. And they're standing around the chimney and like this. And he comes out,
And he's, oh man, that's a lot of work, man. He pulls out his bag, and he's still huffing and puffing, and he brings out the gift. All these gifts, and he's going to hand it to these kids. And they say, nah, don't want it. Oh, okay. And up he goes, the chimney, out he goes, right? That's the kind of thing that we see here. The Jews, they behold the signs and the wonders, these fantastic gifts, but no, they didn't want it. We will not have this man to rule over us. And so finally what happens, progressively, salvation is sent to the Gentiles, and then a new ministry is given to Paul, the prisoner. I know I'm going a little bit long, but I'm just going to finish with this, because I've got to finish this. Now look at Colossians. It's got to be finished. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Oh, well, actually, Colossians 2. Let's read Colossians 2. It says this in verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision. Look at this. Look at it. Look what's going on here, friends. First of all, the context is your completeness. Going back to signs and wonders is like saying, no, not quite enough. We want more. We want more. No, but wait a minute. It says in verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Oh man, this is a spiritual circumcision in putting off the body of the sins. Oh wait a minute, in putting off the body of the sins. What was all this watery stuff about? Or washings and cleanliness and stuff like that. By the circumcision of Christ. Okay, that's circumcision. Number 12, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. Oh, okay. So wait a minute. The circumcision is the one which is done without hands. Oh, wait a minute, in verse 12. Now we've got water, have we? Is this going to be now done with the hands? The context here is you are complete in him. Are you now going to inject in here a watery ceremony? Look what it says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Look at it. Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The faith of the operation of God. In Ephesians 3, it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, man, here it is. And this one baptism is further defined for us to be done through the faith of the operation of God in the same context where circumcision is not made with hands. Right? This is the reality. This is the reality. The other things that we read back here to do with water and so on have to do with a manifestation in relationship to Israel. So you say, well, how does that affect me? Well, it affects me big time. Because if you want to impose on me ordinances given to the nation of Israel, I'll say, no, don't want that. Sorry. Don't want that. I want the full meal deal, please. I don't want to be ushered into the back door where I'm going to be given some crumbs. I want the full buffet meal. That means the whole hog. You know what I'm saying? The full sausage. Okay, well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us and the truth of the Scriptures rightly divided. And we ask that You'd bless this ministry here and also on the internet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.